consider some of these matters and revisit them. So today we'd like to consider a sweet matter called the fellowship of life. I'm still looking to the Lord how to bring this sweet truth out in the Bible. And the first thing that comes to mind is that the fellowship of life can be expressed in a wonderful chorus of a hymn. The writer says, O Lord, I treasure the sweet flow of life. So that flow of life can be considered the fellowship of life. And then, even though his experience of the Lord was sweet, he was treasuring that sweet flowing. He was not content with that sweet flow. He concluded by saying, O Lord, deepen the flow of life. Something like that. O Lord, deepen the sweet flow of life. At your coming, may life be my crown. So, as Christians, we share something very special. And that is, we share a fellowship. And we share this fellowship with all Christians. Because this is the fellowship of the faith. This is the fellowship of the New Testament. So we like to call it the fellowship of life, as we will begin to see. It is not a fellowship of a particular creed, a particular teaching. There is that aspect, but it's even deeper than that. It's not a fellowship of a social association. We belong to a particular doctrine, or it's not that, but it really is the fellowship of life. So hopefully we can see something a little bit more regarding this matter. Maybe we can consider what is the meaning of fellowship. So the Greek word for fellowship actually implies a kind of common participation, a joint participation. And then if we look at 1 John chapter 1, we will begin to realize what is that participation that the believers in the New Testament were participating in. So if we look at 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, we see that in verse 1, the apostle, he, at the end of the verse, he talks about the word of life. He says that they heard it, they seen it with their eyes, and they beheld it with their hands. Which they beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. As you remember in the gospel, when John first introduced his first chapter, he says that he mentions the word which was from the beginning and with God has now become flesh. So this word was in this word. In verse 2, we see that the life was manifested. So here we see that the word of life, which Christ is the incarnation, right, of God himself. The word is the definition, the giving of an account, the expression of all that God is. And that life was manifested to us. We have seen it. And then the Apostle Paul says, we have seen it and testify concerning it and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So that manifestation was first seen in the Lord's incarnation. But then it says that that life was now manifested to us. Well, that manifestation has to do with an imparting, a mingling of that life of God to man, which now brings this man into a union, into a fellowship with God himself. That is such a sweet matter that the Lord was able to bring this life that was in eternity past, now has come into time and went through an entire process to redeem man back to himself, to become the life-giving spirit, now to live in man. And his living in us is entirely by him being the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So that that is the location of this fellowship. This fellowship is now installed in our spirit, bringing us into a... we call it a vertical fellowship. The Lord is no longer incarnated on the earth. He died, resurrected, and now is ascended in the heavens. So our fellowship is a vertical fellowship. But in verse 3, it now begins to say that we have seen and report to you also, that you may have fellowship with us. So now there's not only the vertical aspect, but now there's a horizontal aspect. Of that fellowship. But however, I guess my feeling and burden for this matter is that we need to take care of our vertical fellowship with the Lord. Because if we don't have a vertical fellowship or a fellowship with the Lord, we can never have any kind of fellowship with one another, because that's what we are participating in. That's what's common to believers, is that fellowship with the Lord. So in a sense that when we first were saved, the Lord just didn't impart all of his life in one dosage. and now we're okay for forever. No, he didn't do that, but he wants us to remain with him and to abide with him in a constant and continuous way, that we can be fully brought into life, and that each part of our soul, all its faculties, can be introduced into our emotion, into our will, into our thinking. that those functions, that those faculties in our soul can be uplifted, and then that we can that this flow can not only be for us but can be for others. So our Christian existence has everything to do with this flow. Our Christian existence has everything to do with this flow. And we need to, we should pay our full attention to maintaining this flow within us. We will realize that when we are in the flow of life, the fellowship of life, and we will realize when we are not in the fellowship of life, by the sense of life, by the sense of life, we will realize, we will just feel that we are enjoying, we will be like the psalmist who wrote the hymn, "Lord, I treasure the sweet flow of life." Well, that's a realization that there's something of the Lord being mingled with me. You know, I'm enjoying His presence. I'm abiding with the Lord. There's just a sweet feeling. There's contentment. There's satisfaction. There's peace. There's joy. So there's a realization that I'm in the fellowship of life, and I am enjoying its sweet flow. But on the other side, on the negative side, there can be a sense of uneasiness, of feeling cut off. Maybe there's some kind of barrier, some kind of blockage. So we've been talking about the digging to remove all the dirt that will just accumulate in our daily life, by just by living in this world, we accumulate the dust of the earth. So there's a need to be unloaded, to clear up any barriers. And, you know, those 12 points, it's good that those points expose us. And we need to bring those points to the Lord. And the Lord will, we have to repent that, Lord, this is not me. I don't have an enlarged heart, Lord. And the Lord will bring us through experiences to show us how small our heart is. And so, in those experiences, it's not for us to have a pity party and feel sorry for ourselves or throw in the towel and say, I quit. But it's a time for us to, for that flow to deepen. That flow to deepen in us through our repentance and confession. So that the Lord can have more of a way in us. Just real quickly, this vertical fellowship has, like I said, has everything to do with our Christian existence. Without this fellowship with the Lord, it's like we're not even a believer. We have nothing that distinguishes us in our daily living. But this fellowship will bring us into union with God. It functions to bring us into union with the triune God. In John 17, it says that this eternal life causes us to know the Father and causes us to know the Son. This vertical fellowship also brings the impartation and the mingling of the life of God. This fellowship also functions to supply us with all the riches of Christ. So a good illustration of this, and then I'll hand it over to James, is maybe we can see the importance of the blood flow in our human body. It circulates to, we don't see it, but if there was something cut off from the veins and it would not reach a certain member, that hand or that heart or what have you, there would be a serious, serious problem. And another example is like electricity. Electricity needs the wires, right, to carry the current. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, our spiritual life is, we are like the veins of the body, and we are like the wires of electricity. And anytime there's some kind of barrier or blockage, we need to do our best to first realize that there's a sense within us, that alarm going off. Hey, oh, you're anxious. You're depressed. But you know, there's something going on within you. So we need to heed to those feelings that we have, that our life with the Lord can be the way it's supposed to be. The Lord wants us to live, to treasure this sweet flow of life, and that this flow would deepen within us all our days. So the Lord doesn't just want us to remain on the surface with Him, but that this life would have its full course through our being.
Amen.
And praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, real quickly, what I enjoyed was that the source of the fellowship of life is the eternal life of God. So our fellowship, the source is the life of God, God Himself. And the means is being carried out by the Holy Spirit. And the location is in our spirit. So the fellowship of life is really God as the Spirit flowing among us, you know, with all He is, all His riches. The function of the fellowship of life, right, is supplying us with all the riches of the divine life. And we see the picture of the grapevine and the branches, right? All that are in the grapevine is going into the branches, supplying the branches. And I like Gerald's picture of the blood flow, the flow of life, that all the negative things are being cleansed and discharged, and all of the nutrients is being brought to every member of the body.
Amen.
Through the flow of blood, or in this case, through the flow of life, the divine life within us. So I want to talk a little bit about the relationship between the fellowship of life and the sense of life. The fellowship of life is realized by the sense of life. So I want to give an experience to kind of make it a little practical. May the Lord cover me and cover the young people. Experience at Alpha House at Summer School of Truth. So, you know, every day the young people prepare to speak. You know, they have a class, and then what they enjoy, they have an opportunity to prophesy, to speak to everyone what they enjoyed. And they did something a little different. They asked that there would be a serving brother to give an opening and a closing before and after the young people share. So we had several serving ones in our class, maybe at least five. And so the first couple times, you know, other serving ones did the opening and closing. And then so I thought, well, everyone else already did it, so now it's my turn. I need to do it, so I need to prepare. And then that day we also had to do the cleanup, and so there was very little time for preparation. And, but so we get up there, and you know, I did try to prepare because you know I wanted to give an opening, but I really was not prepared. And so it was just a matter of, you know, reading. And anyways, I was, you know, really embarrassed that I couldn't speak. I mean, even though I was speaking something, I knew there was no flow of life, you know. So, yeah, I was really embarrassed about the situation. And because of that, I realized I had a hard time singing after that. And calling on the Lord, you know, I'm just in a real low state of being, right? You know, Satan tries to give you thoughts and to bring you down further. And so just a lot of inward, you know, feeling, you know, and trying to restore the flow, you know, with the Lord. So, yeah, there was a definite sense that something was wrong in my being. And there's many items that can stop the fellowship of life. You know, one is sins. It could be disobedience, not caring for the sense of life, and by not following the inner anointing. So, you know what? You know, I could have asked the Lord, "Lord, how do you feel about me giving this opening word?" Or maybe I, you know, could have fellowship with the brothers a little bit more. But, you know, there was, you know, I feel there was not the sense of life. Actually, before I spoke, I didn't have a good sense within me. But I did not act upon that, you know. I just kind of went ahead and did it out of myself. So, you know, not following the inner anointing, the spirit within my spirit. And so it caused me to be really down. But praise the Lord that there is a way to restore the fellowship of life. And that's by confessing our sins and by the cleansing of the blood. I'd like to read a verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. And this cleansing, I looked at the footnote. It talked about the redeeming blood of the Lord has cleansed us once for all for eternity. However, in our conscience, we need the instant application of the constant cleansing of the Lord's blood again and again. Whenever our conscience is enlightened by the divine light in our fellowship with God. So, although our sins have been forgiven, past and future, yet we still commit sin, or we still neglect, you know, the inner anointing or the sense of the Spirit. And at that time, we may have a sense in our conscience, you know, something's wrong. You know, when you have a stomach ache, you realize there's something wrong. And so, at that time, we need to confess to the Lord and apply the blood. And in my experience, you know, at Alpha House was just that of confessing, applying the blood. And then, you know, the fellowship of life was restored. I was able to fellowship with another brother who also helped me. You know, through our fellowship, there was the flow of life, another serving brother and I. And from that, I felt like, yeah, the flow of life, you know, was back.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. Amen. But, yeah, we have these tools that we can apply daily, and that's confessing our sins and applying the blood, and to have a clear conscience, and that the fellowship of life can be restored. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Am